We have had the pleasure of singing a couple of the hymns that Ambrose of Milan wrote. So today we're turning back to the book of Acts. My brother was writing in this hymn about the apostles, and we have just read from that fourth chapter what the Lord did through the apostles. And now we come to chapter 6 of Acts. If you would turn there, please, we'll read the first few verses and see what God was doing among His people then. We should find in our day some likeness to what God was doing then, according to the Scriptures. Acts chapter 6, we'll begin reading with verse 1. Let us hear the word of God. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, that we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Amen. We conclude our reading there at verse 7. We trust that the Lord will bless His word today. Let us bow together and pray and ask the Lord's blessing again. O God, our Father in heaven, we are blessed above all men in that we, Thy blood-bought people, have this joy of calling Thee our Father in heaven. And we know that Thou art a very kind and loving Father. We praise Thee that Thou dost give constantly good things to Thy children. And Lord, we pray that Thou wilt be pleased today to give us the Holy Spirit as we consider Thy word. Breathe upon us, even as we think of this man that Thou didst raise up so long ago in the church. We pray, O God, that Thou wilt speak to Thy people today. We pray that Thou wilt give us every needed grace to stand in these evil days for Thee. And Lord, we pray for those who may not know Thee, may not enjoy the peace of God this day. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt draw precious lost souls into the safe haven of Jesus Christ today. We pray in His name. Amen. Amen. We are bombarded by many images today wherever you go. If you're driving in to cities of any size, you see these huge billboards that are somehow digitally operated, and they're constantly, quickly changing their pictures and their ads. And then when you are at home, on your computer screens, there are flashing these distracting images along the margins, trying to get you away from what you're doing. So constantly, images being put before our eyes. Now, if you would go to your computer and look up St. Ambrose, Ambrose of Milan, you will see many pictures, supposedly, of the man who lived in the 300s A.D. But even the oldest mosaics look like little puzzles of stones put together. Even the oldest of the mosaics, they are not certain that there's any reality in those, that they have any idea of how he looked or even how he dressed. Historians tell us that Ambrose did not wear the fancy clerical clothing that you see in these pictures. In spite of this, the revisionists from the Middle Ages onward try to dress the long-deceased preacher something like you would expect the Pope to be dressed. And in those pictures and on those statues, they try to make him look that way. But it's very clear that the historians tell us that he did not wear fancy clerical clothing. Now, it's obvious this was not the case, as we shall see further along in our study. Well, you might ask, why are we spending time looking back at these men? Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 8:32. And we know today that in almost any field of study, lies abound on every hand. And Christ warned us about the multiplicity of deceivers in the world. He told us to watch out for deception. So each October, we endeavor to look back into church history to help us see what is actually going on today in our world. And we can understand better what is happening in the 21st century because of what happened even during the early centuries of the Christian church. Now, you are either biblically reforming today, or a church, if it's not biblically reforming, is going back toward Romanism. If you're not exceedingly careful, you will be led away with the error of the wicked. Peter warns us in 2 Peter 3:17, "Beloved, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." Now, this is an ever-lurking danger. As long as we are in this world, there is the danger of being led astray. And there are so many forces working to draw you and me away from the truth as we live in this perverse world. Now, as we briefly scan the life of Ambrose this morning, I would simply note three things about him: his early years, his ministry, and his legacy that he has left us. First of all, his early years. He was born in what is now Germany in around the year 340 A.D. His parents were Christians, and it's very important to note that his parents were professing Christians at that time. His father was a governor, and he governed over much of northern Italy, but he died while he and his son Ambrose were still quite young. Ambrose was given a good education, And as the years went by, he rose to take the position of his father as the governor where his father had been in northern Italy. Now, it's very interesting that in the year 374, the Bishop of Milan died. Now, he has a rather difficult name. It is Auxentius. Auxentius, the bishop, he was an Arian. Now, what does that mean? Auxentius, the Bishop of Milan, died, and he had been an Arian. That means that he did not believe that Jesus Christ is God. But God, our Lord Jesus Christ, is. He is God manifest in the flesh. Now, the Arians were not really nice people, generally speaking. If you remember from our study of Athanasius, they tried on several occasions to take him out. They wanted the great defender of the Holy Trinity destroyed. So they tried to end his life on the earth. So Ambrose expected trouble in Milan. As the governor of that region of northern Italy, he went to Milan in that time of difficulty, afraid there would be another riot, as there often were in the places where these Arian professing Christians inhabited. So Ambrose went into the public square of Milan and he gave a very eloquent speech in an effort to calm the people. It sort of backfired on him. The people began shouting, "Ambrose for bishop! Ambrose for bishop!" And they continued on and on. And he was so shocked by what the people were saying. He had never been trained in theology, even though he grew up in a Christian home. He had never been baptized. So he got away. Out of the square, he left, and he went to a quiet place and sort of hid himself. And the call of the people, and ultimately the call of God, could not be successfully avoided by Ambrose. And many of God's servants understand what that is like. They never wanted to undertake the serious work of the ministry for many reasons. Well, Ambrose was baptized and he accepted the position as being the new bishop of Milan. You see how he was chosen, don't you? He was chosen by the multitude of professing people of God. That's what we've just read about in Acts chapter 6. If you look back there at Acts chapter 6 and verse 2, then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them. And what did they say to the multitude in verse 3? "Wherefore, brethren," these are words to the multitude, "look ye out among you, 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom." These are the ones that you choose that will be set into this position in the church. So who chose them? It was the multitude of the believers choosing these men. Well, two of these men we know very well, don't we? We know Stephen. Stephen, in the verses following this in chapter 6, became a man of great spiritual power. He was a preacher, as you see his sermon and his martyrdom in chapter 7. If you go on to chapter 8, you see that another one named here, Philip, preached in a great awakening in the city of Samaria, Acts chapter 8, you see that there was great joy in the city of Samaria because when Philip preached there, a multitude of the people believed and there was great joy in that city. And the chapter closes as you see this man that was chosen by the multitude baptizing. He was baptizing in Samaria, and then he went down in the desert and he baptized again. Now, both Athanasius that we looked at last week and Ambrose were chosen as pastors or bishops. How? By the multitude of the people, as we have here in Acts chapter 6. It was the practice in Acts. It was the practice in the 300s A.D. So I say, it should still be the practice today. Preachers should not be sent from headquarters and forced upon a people, as they are in many places. The preachers of congregations should be chosen by the congregation according to the Scriptures. Okay. So, that is the early time of Ambrose's life. We come now to look briefly at his ministry. Ambrose was not a perfect man. Where do we find a perfect man today? Even among our closest brethren, we have theological differences about certain non-essential points. But Ambrose, we thank God for so much that this man stood for. So much of what he believed and he did was right. And we agree with him on those things. The first thing he did when he became bishop, he was not only baptized and then he was made the bishop of Milan, but he immersed himself in the study of the Holy Scriptures. We were singing in Sunday school Psalm 1 this morning because I was reminded of this man, how much he studied the Old and the New Testaments. He had never been trained as a theologian, so he had to start with the Scriptures, and he meditated in the Scriptures day and night. If you read his writings, and I want to tell you, on the table back there are two big books that contain the writings of Ambrose of Milan, and you're welcome to take one and read it if you'd like. They stay in the church library. I know a lot of people don't find great thrills reading the writings of the servants of God in the past, but there are wonderful things to learn there. Now, he wrote many things because he was learning the Scriptures himself. And he said, if I'm going to teach the people, I'm going to have to teach myself what the Scriptures say first. And that was really good. I'm so glad, because if you read his what he is writing, you're constantly seeing him quoting Scripture. He said, we must learn the fear of God by the Lord himself teaching us in his holy word. And we could say about Ambrose, as Spurgeon said about John Bunyan. Spurgeon said, if you take John Bunyan's books and you cut them with a cutting instrument, anywhere you cut them, they bleed Scripture. And I was so thrilled in reading the writings of Ambrose because he's constantly referring to the Scriptures. He'll quote a verse of Scripture. He'll go on a little bit. Then he'll quote another one. Scripture after Scripture. And how wonderful that is. And we know that a man not trained in theology, for him to become, in a short period of time, so thoroughly acquainted with the Scriptures, he had to study it and meditate in it day and night. Well, Ambrose had the truth applied to his own heart, and then he preached his expositions of Scripture each Lord's Day in the Cathedral of Milan to the people. He already knew Greek and Hebrew for some reason. I don't know why he already knew Greek and Hebrew, but that was to his advantage. He had been well educated, so he was able to eloquently expound both the Old and the New Testament. He particularly liked to preach on Bible characters from the Old Testament. Now, Augustine, when he came to Milan as a lost young man, he didn't think much of the preachers that he had heard in the past. But when he got to Ambrose Church and heard him preaching the Scriptures and having a great ability to preach the Scriptures in an eloquent manner, Augustine was impressed at the intelligent interpretation of the Scriptures that Ambrose was giving. And ultimately, Augustine came to know the Lord as his Savior, as his Master, while he was there in Milan. His mother had been under the ministry of Ambrose for some time, and she was enjoying the ministry of the Word. Now, he gave not only the historical, literal meaning of the Scriptures, but he also gave the spiritual meaning and the lessons of the passages that he was preaching and how they applied to the people. Now, here's another thing that Ambrose did that would convince us in another way that he did not dress as those pictures you will find of him in books and statues online. When he came into the ministry, he was a wealthy man. His family had been wealthy before him, so he sold nearly all of his possessions for them to be given to the poor. But he left enough wealth to care for those few remaining members of his family. He was not married, but he left the things for his family. Augustine said he loved Ambrose's ministry, but he didn't like the fact that Ambrose wasn't married. So, he even stripped the gold and the silver from the interior of the cathedral for the purpose of giving it to the needy poor. Now, that's quite amazing. If you go to the great cathedrals in Mexico and in our country, and you look at the vast amounts of wealth that are just stuck on the walls of so many of these cathedrals, and you think of the poor slaves that spent their lives laboring for so-called Holy Mother Church in order to adorn her with all of this resplendent gold and silver, and you realize their lives were lived in poverty. In order to do that, you see the righteousness of what Ambrose did, stripping out even that luxurious shining metal and melting it to give to the poor. So he got rid of his own wealth, and he was not for the ornate in the house of God. So he was not one who gave himself to wearing fancy and luxurious clothing as he is falsely portrayed to have worn. Now, Ambrose defended the orthodox doctrine of the Word of God. He stood up for the Council of Nicaea that we repeated last Lord's Day. The basic doctrines of Christ and salvation in Him. He preached grace and faith and the blood of Christ as the way of salvation. He emphasized total depravity, but not just total depravity. This may be interesting to you. He did not only preach total depravity. He laid out very clearly the biblical teaching of sin, but he preached total inability of the sinner to save himself as well. Listen to what he says here. He wrote in his book of the Christian faith, "He who believes not, hears not, nay, he will not, he cannot hear, lest he should believe." Now listen to the prayer that accompanies that. Oh, that they might have a will to hear, that they might believe, and hear with true love and meekness as men seeking the truth. That was his desire, that sinners who could not, in their sin, really hear and receive the message. Oh, that God would give them grace that they might hear as men truly seeking God and salvation. Now, although Ambrose stood firmly against the Arians and other heretics, he refused fellowship with any professing Christians who had supported the death penalty against those with whom they disagreed. Now, this is one of the slanders made against Ambrose, that he was one of the persecutors of the Arians, the pagans, and the Jews. Ambrose stood against the death penalty for the beliefs of anyone who did not agree with the beliefs of the Christian church. He was not for the death penalty for any heretics or anything else. He even rebuked the Roman emperor Theodosius to his face, because Theodosius had retaliated against the people of Thessalonica for killing their governor in a riot. So he sent the soldiers to Thessalonica and gathered thousands of the citizens, men, women, and children. And the soldiers massacred the people in Thessalonica. So when Theodosius, the emperor, came to Milan and was going to walk in the church door for a worship service, Ambrose met him at the door and would not let him in the door. And he preached to him. And he told him, you have got to go and repent of your sin, and you've got to repent of it privately, and then you've got to repent of it publicly. You will not be allowed in here. You will not be allowed to take communion because of your wickedness in having those people killed. Several months, Theodosius was not allowed to gather with them, and he repented. And after several months, because of his public repentance and his private repentance, Ambrose allowed Theodosius to come and take communion. Now, this is amazing because, like many of the leaders in the time of Ambrose, they could have killed him at any time. But the truth was so important to him that he was willing to take his stand, even if it meant his own life. Well, Theodosius and the others, many of them respected him because he was a man of God, a true man of God. And when Theodosius was lying on his deathbed 2 years before Ambrose died, he was holding the head and the shoulders of Theodosius in his arms, praying for the emperor as he left this world and passed into eternity. Well, we have come quickly and finally to the legacy of Ambrose. Now, although Roman Catholicism would like to claim him as one of their saints, a multitude of his beliefs and practices are totally contrary to Romanism. I just mentioned that he would not practice the death sentence on heretics, and he would separate and not have any fellowship with those who did. That's totally unlike what we have read in the history of the Roman institution down through the centuries. Now, Ambrose stood against the worship of Mary, the worship of angels, and the worship of saints. Listen to Ambrose. All right, now, do you understand? In the worship that's going on around us today in the Roman Catholic institution, they are praying to saints to help them. Listen to this one. In the December Mass, they say in this, O God, through the merits of Nicholas and by his intercession, free us from the flames of hell. Do you think you're actually going to be freed from the flames of hell by the merits of Nicholas and his intercession? Ambrose condemns this heresy by saying this. Listen to the words of Ambrose. He said, to address God through his creatures is a crime against the divine majesty. I'm going to say more about what he's got to say about the worship of Mary. You know, in the normal Ave Marias, the Hail Marys, what's said? Here it is. You can look it up online. They say, very regularly and very repetitiously, Hail Mary, full of grace, our Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Ambrose wrote, no, he was not for that kind of thing. In his writings, Ambrose, in the book back there, he said Jesus was the only one whom the snares of sin did not conquer. What is he meaning? The snares of sin even had conquered his own mother and all of the others around him in his family. Ambrose said some more about Mary. He said, we do not deny Christ's birth was from the Virgin. Mary was the temple of God. Now notice, Mary was the temple of God, but she was not God in the temple. Therefore, only the one who was in the temple can be worshipped. Let me repeat that. Ambrose said, we do not deny Christ's birth was from the Virgin. Mary was the temple of God, because God, Christ, was in her. Mary was the temple of God, but not God in the temple. Therefore, only the one who was in the temple can be worshipped. This is page 79 and 80 in his writing on the Holy Spirit. Now, here's one more thing he says. As he was preaching on Luke chapter 2, where Mary said the words, I rejoice in God my Savior. Listen to what Ambrose said about her. She through whom salvation was being prepared for all people would be the first to receive the promised fruit of salvation. She had to receive that salvation for herself. That was what Ambrose said, contrary to the worship that goes on today. Ambrose, for the fear of God, never feared to speak the truth to his enemies, even to kings, and even in the face of armies. Do you remember last week we considered Athanasius and 5,000 soldiers surrounded the church where they were having a prayer meeting, and God caused them to escape? Well, Ambrose would not leave when the soldiers in large bands surrounded the church to threaten him. Ambrose just stayed, and he prayed, and he waited on God, and God protected him. Now, Ambrose did not submit to the Bishop of Rome. Like the other bishops of that time, northern Italy was independent from the Bishop of Rome, or the so-called Pope. For many centuries, there was that independence from the supposed usurped authority of the Roman bishop. Now, through the ministry of Ambrose, his mantle came down upon both Augustine and Claudius of Turin. Augustine came to know Christ listening to the preaching of Ambrose. Even though he went home and he was out in the yard and he heard a child saying something, he picked up the scriptures and started reading. He'd been under conviction listening to Ambrose preach, and he came to trust in Christ as he read Romans, the epistle to the Romans. So through the ministry of Ambrose, Augustine was not only impressed, convicted, and convinced, he was ultimately converted by the faithful biblical preaching of Ambrose. I mentioned that his mantle fell not only on Augustine, the younger man. He baptized Augustine, and he baptized Augustine's son the same day. Claudius, the bishop of Turin, there in Italy, in that same region, stood boldly for the doctrines that Ambrose had preached. Of course, Claudius was 400 years later, and he had even clearer views of the Roman anti-Christian system as it was developing in his time. Therefore, Claudius of Turin spoke even more boldly and more thoroughly against the falsehoods of Romanism than Ambrose did. But you know, some more of the legacy that Ambrose left was what we're singing today, some of his hymns. And that was one of the things that attracted Augustine to the preaching of Ambrose. He heard the congregation singing the hymns, and his heart was greatly moved as he heard that congregation and Ambrose ministry singing these hymns. Now, we know that the Scripture teaches that we are to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And if you carefully study the Word of God, you discover that they're not all the same thing. And we praise God for these hymns that Ambrose gave us that we have been singing this morning. Now, as we conclude today, let us praise God for the truth of the glorious gospel of Christ, that which we repeated in the Nicene Creed last week, that formed so much an outline of Ambrose's ministry. It is because of the love of God the Father that He sent His only begotten Son into this world for sinners so graciously to live for us a perfect life, to die for us a sacrificial, God-glorifying and atoning death in our behalf. And what are we called upon to do? To believe on Christ, to receive Him by faith alone as our Lord and our Savior, believing on Him. Well, let us thank God for those who boldly stood for the truth and to the best of their knowledge in their day. It's rather obvious then that we can't trust everything that we see. Artists' conceptions of historical figures are colored by the artist's preconceived notions. How would those artists know how someone looked, even centuries and centuries before them, or even thousands of years before them? There's no way that they could give an accurate portrayal of how they looked and how they dressed. But praise God for the great Ambrose of Milan, who stood for the gospel and saw the prosperity of the gospel in souls believing on Christ. The important thing for us today is to be sure that we are in Christ, that we know Him, that we love Him, that we are His. Ambrose is so forgotten by multitudes, and then he is wrongly remembered, falsely remembered by multitudes more. May God help us that we may live and die in a godly way so that the memory of us will be, as Proverbs says, the memory of the just is blessed, happy. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank Thee for Thy holy truth. We thank Thee for raising up Ambrose to stand for the truth, even against so much opposition and threats on his life. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt give us grace to live for Thee and to be willing to stand, even in the face of persecution, for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.